All right, we are back. It is episode number 2 here on the Minor Talk Football Preview Podcast. We are here. We are live. I'm joined this week by Zay Galindo. You'll hear from guys like Alberto Retta, Steve Kaplowitz, Sal Montes, everybody, the whole gang kind of leading up to the season. But we're just 2 episodes into this weekly Minor Talk Football season preview that we started last week with head coach Scotty Walden kind of kicking everything off. There's a lot going on with UTEP football right now, and fall camp is underway. We're about a week into fall camp. I've got a chance to watch practice. Zay's got a chance to watch practice as well. So this is going to be kind of a mixed bag of our first reactions, first thoughts, initial, right off the hip kind of thoughts about this team right here, Zay. As we get started, fall camp week 1. How are you feeling? Are the vibes all right in your world?
Yeah, they are. I think, you know, it's been a long time since we talked some football, and I'm just glad to be back. I think I say this every year, but I'm just glad that it's almost football time.
I'm glad as well, man. I feel like when I first walk into the concourse out at the Sun Bowl, and I'm kind of going through the concrete walls, I see everything. I see all the photos on all the walls and stuff like that, the decorations. You look above, it's the banners of all the Conference USA teams up there. One last time that you're getting the chance to see those teams out of CUSA. And then you walk through the tunnel out into the Sun Bowl, and it's just a majestic view. I mean, it was so cool to be out there for the first time last week for them to kick off practice. Earlier this week, I got a chance to watch them out at Glory Field, which is their practice field. It's outdoor practice field, by the way. Even though it's 100-plus degrees out here, Zay, it's just great to see football back in the 915.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, I think that the temperature – yeah, it's rough, right? But I think it builds some strength in you, right? You got to practice in these 105, 106 degree, you know, type of days. I think that builds some mental toughness. And although UTEP does need an indoor facility badly, you know, this is it could be used as a positive.
Yeah, I think so too, man. I mean, hey, they're never going to feel this kind of heat during the season, or maybe the other kind of heat that they feel during the season is more of humidity versus what they feel here in El Paso. Let's jump right to it, man. A quarterback situation. It's a 4-man race that they said to start off fall camp. It's a 2-man race when you watch them in practice. It's Skylar Locklear versus Malachi Nelson, and this is me saying that based on just watching things at practice, watching the team kind of operate. The team is going to continue to say this is a 4-man battle, and I truly want to believe that, right? Like, I want Shea Smith to have his opportunity. I want Cade McConnell to have his opportunity as well. But it feels to me that the evaluation is coming primarily from Malachi Nelson versus Skylar Locklear. Could be wrong on that. That's just my sole opinion. I've seen Skylar take majority of snaps one day. I've seen Malachi take majority of snaps another day. And, you know, you kind of try to track who's running with the ones, who's trying to run with the twos and stuff like that, and all these different drills that UTEP does. Not to mention, the Miners are putting these quarterbacks in multiple scenarios, like 2-minute drill, red zone drill, all these different scenarios to see how they'll stack up under pressure, how they'll stack up when their back's against the wall, and how they kind of operate through practice. So how is your outlook on this quarterback battle? Just before we hear from some comments that we heard from Scotty Walden just earlier this week.
Yeah, I think that the quarterback battle, like you said, I think it's more of a 2-man battle. And, you know, it's tough, right? I've only seen one practice. It was practice number 1 of fall camp. So from that practice alone, I thought that you know, Skylar Locklear just outperformed Malachi. He looked a lot more calm. He looked very, very steady. I mean, he was a steady hand. He was a steady quarterback. It's not like he was making insane throws, but he just did his job. He was a leader on and off the field. I mean, we didn't really see that last year from any type of quarterback. Maybe Cade at times, but he was injured.
He said you
so, you know, it'll be interesting, right? It'll be interesting to see, but I just hope we find out sooner rather than later, right? I know they're going to name one soon, maybe in the next couple of weeks, but will we know, or is it just going to be the team that knows?
Good point. I mean, that's another thing. Or is this just a media spectacle? Or does this drag a couple weeks out? And we don't know until closer to the start of August 30th when they kick off against Utah State. Like, how do they handle these next couple weeks is going to be really interesting. Sorry, I bled into you a little bit. I have head coach Scotty Walden ready to go about his answers on the quarterbacks. And we're going to break into this. I know a lot of people saw this earlier this week on social media, the video of it, but we're going to break into it and kind of assess what we think head coach Scotty Walden is saying when he's talking about the quarterback situation.
I think an honest moral assessment after scrimmage one, but I will say this, the coolest thing about being in year two is we didn't get to situational football in fall camp last year until practice 7 or 8. I mean, maybe 9. Our whole offense was in the spring and the summer, and we repeated it. And now we can get to situational football. We're working third downs, red zone, 2 minute, 4 minute, 1 minute. I mean, we're working every scenario under the sun. And so I am putting a huge evaluation on that. I mean, we lost 3 games last year by, you know, combined 14 points. In college football, you don't have to win tight ball games. So I'm putting a premium on that. And so I'm anxious to see how they continue to handle those. They've been really, you know, solid so far. I mean, there's some decisions I don't like, but we'll clean that up. But I think we're on pace right now to have that, but scrimmage one, I'll be able to tell you know more accurate. They're all playing really good. I mean, they're great kids. They care, and you know the unique thing about it is there's times where I look at one of them and I'm like, I wish I could put this in this body and combine their bodies and make the creative player. You know what I mean? Because they all got unique, great, God given talent and traits. And sometimes I wish, I was like, man, I wish that last period I could put this guy with this guy. We can make a creative player, a quarterback. You know, they are all doing a great job of listening and learning and diving in. I think we got a very talented room and. You know, we got to be ready to, you know, play multiple guys too. I mean, they all bring something to the table. So we just got to keep evaluating.
There you go. There's a first kind of opening thoughts right there from head coach Scotty Walden. And playing multiple players kind of hits me right there. That's one of the footnotes that he said. Hey, can we play multiple players? We have to think about playing multiple players. Earlier this offseason, we heard Scotty Walden say he wants to just get one guy, stick to the guy, right? Talked about how he's evaluating things. 14 points combined is how or what kept them away from being a 6-win season last year, and said scoring is a premium. He said they're all playing good, but he likes parts of one player, likes parts of another player, and wants to kind of fuse the two or the three or the four to make a creative player for the right archetype of a quarterback that they're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, that creative player, that was funny, but at the same time, it's like, well, that's not great, right? That means that obviously all four are lacking in some part of being a quarterback, and I'd rather them not play, you know, four different quarterbacks throughout the year. I mean, you talked about it, you posted it on social media. UTEP usually performs the best when they have a set guy at quarterback, when you're not having to go from one quarterback to the next. And I can see at times where you can put packages out there that, you know, Shea Smith can go and play kind of that wildcat quarterback, but I don't want to see one drive Malachi Nelson, the next drive Skylar Locklear 6 games in. If we're talking about this in the first, second game, then yeah. But if we're down the road and we're still having this quarterback battle, that's probably not a good sign for UTEP.
And I think it might be the latter, man. I mean, the history has shown that UTEP goes through cycles and cycles and cycles of quarterbacks year over year, and it's hard to have that stability at that position. Stop me when you want to mention or shout out any of these quarterbacks, okay? If you look back a decade back about UTEP starting quarterbacks or players who played at the quarterback position during a single season, UTEP has averaged playing 3 quarterbacks per season since 2015. Back in 2015, it was 3. It was Leftwich, Ryan. It was Mac Leftwich, by the way, Ryan Metz, and Kavika Johnson. Then in 2016, you had Ryan Metz, Zach Greenlee, and Kavika Johnson. 2017, a winless season, by the way. You had Mark Torres, Ryan Metz, Zach Greenlee, not in that order, but just that mix right there. And that was the end of the Sean Kugler era. Any thoughts?
You know, it got pretty rough down the stretch, right? We're hearing some interesting names, but I mean, they just never could find consistency. They never could. It was always a different guy. I mean, I was 5 or 6 during this time, and I'm watching a new quarterback almost every week, and I'm like, I'm just wondering what happened to Mac Leftwich. I'm wondering, hey, how do we get Jamil Showers to stop playing safety for the Cowboys and to find another year of eligibility?
2018, they had Kyle Oxley, Brandon Jones, Ryan Metz. What a quarterback room that was, actually. I would say that one was a pretty solid quarterback room, sneakily enough. And Ryan Metz doesn't get a lot of love or not a lot of credit like he should. He just never, you know, even when he had the opportunities out there, he always had to look over his shoulder. That was the Ryan Metz story since he started at UTEP or when he had a chance to play for the Miners. Then the following year, you had Kyle Oxley, Brandon Jones, and Gavin Hardison. Welcome to UTEP, Gavin Hardison. He played the final couple games. It was a wrist injury that kept Kyle Oxley away from the field. Brandon Jones, I believe it was like a concussion that took him away. And then Hardison played that game against UAB, and then welcome the Hardison era right there.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Jones, what a name. I mean, that was a time. That was a weird time. Obviously, the Gavin Hardison era starts, and he really doesn't, you know, we only see a game of him. He's really young, and that next year is when you kind of realize, okay, they're going to rock out with this guy through good and through bad.
Yeah, the 2018 season, by the way, I'd say Kyle Oxley was the most talented, most gifted player on that team, bar none. Probably could have played four or five different positions on that team other than quarterback, but took the brunt of all the blame, deservingly or not. I mean, that was just the case. 2020, which was the pandemic-shortened season, you had Gavin Hardison, you had Calvin Brownholtz out there. Even Isaiah Bravo threw a pass in that season and actually played a couple snaps that year for the Miners. Then 2021, only one quarterback, Gavin Hardison. 2022, Gavin Hardison played primarily the entire season but was sidelined for the final game. Calvin Brownholtz stepped in for that final game and started for the Miners. They fell against UTSA in that game. Then 2023, you had Cade McConnell, Gavin Hardison, Kevin Hurley, and Jake McNamara, followed by last year, Skylar Locklear, Cade McConnell, Shea Smith, and JP Pickles. There's your quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think how different things could have been if UTEP wins that 2022 game against UTSA. I mean, chances are you bring back Calvin Brownholtz. He is your quarterback, and that's a crazy thought, right? I think that's crazy because they found so much success with him down the road, and you know, obviously that ends up not happening, and you rock out with Gavin Hardison the next year. He gets injured, and it leads to Cade McConnell, so it's just a butterfly effect how almost every game, you can point to a specific play that leads us to where we are now.
Who will be the second best? I think by definition, I mean, he's in the top 10 for career passing yards. By definition, Hardison should be, I guess, number one on this list. And I think some would debate that. Some might throw in a random name that we're not talking about, or a guy who underperformed while he was here at UTEP, but his talent was much better. Who would be number two on your list out of all this group right here?
Oh, man, it's not a great group, you know. It's not an amazing group. I'd probably say Mac Lefkowitz.
Okay.
That's my confident pick.
Man, shout out Mac Lefkowitz. I watched a ton of the Mac Lefkowitz era. I did not like it. I did not. I mean, poor guy. He was high IQ, but as far as abilities, I don't know if he had it there. Man, I don't know who I would go with, Zay. I think I'm debating in my head between Calvin Brownholtz. Yeah, like Calvin Brownholtz is number two. Is Calvin Brownholtz better than Skylar Locklear? Or is Mac Lefkowitz better than Skylar Locklear? Like, that's where I'm probably stumped right there. It might be between Brownholtz and Locklear.
I think that it's hard because, you know, Brownholtz didn't play much, but when he did play, he was pretty good. You know, he was pretty good. Did that FIU win?
He was a gadget player. Let's be real, dude. He was a gadget
player.
Jumbo package running up the middle.
The good thing about him is, look, his numbers speak for themselves. I mean, he came in, first ever start, they put up 40 over FIU. I mean, I know it's FIU, but still, 40 points that year, that was like unheard of for UTEP. So, I don't know. It's tough. Wow, that's a stumper.
Would you say Hardison's number one, not even close? There's a big gap.
Yeah, it's without a doubt Gavin Hardison.
If I tried to argue Kyle Oxley at number two, would you be okay with the narrative?
I wouldn't mind it. I just think that he was You know, those are bad teams. Those are really bad teams. And just purely based off talent, then, yeah, you know, I could see him being at number two.
Okay, I like it, man. We got some good stuff coming here on the Minor Talk podcast. And let's continue with more with head coach Scotty Walden talking about and evaluating his quarterbacks.
Would you say that there's a sense of urgency for these spots that are up for grabs right now?
Yeah, and I'm trying, 100%. And I'm trying to manage more so them not putting too much pressure on themselves, because we got great kids, man. We got kids that care, that want to do right, and I think the more pressure that I put on it or whatever, I think it just gets worse. I'm very animated. Those guys to me already have that urgency built in. Like, I don't have to add the pressure to it, and I'm putting them in situations that are uncomfortable already. So I don't think that's even a concern. And to your point, the whole team is that way right now, and they're hungry. And that's, you keep them hungry and keep. I always tell them, man, that, you know, people say, let's have a great practice. Well, we tangibly define that. It's got to be intense. It's got to be competitive. It's got to be detailed. If you have those three things, you will keep getting better every single day. And right now, we've had those things.
Okay, let's quickly go back into that first question, because the first question he had a chance to talk about, head coach Scotty Walden was talking about the sense of urgency. It's interesting, Zay, because I posted on earlier this week about Skylar and Malachi, who I asked the same question to. And I, you know, to the people who said that this question was unfair, I kind of agree with the people who did that, because, you know, if you want to make the argument that that's a tough question, that these are guys who are kind of going through this battle and they're coached to say otherwise and coach to be very team friendly, team chemistry and all that kind of stuff. And I just simply asked both Skylar and Malachi, do you feel a sense of urgency to try to grab this position sooner rather than later, knowing that they want to make a job, like they want to make this decision? And you know what? Both of them said no. They said they don't feel that urgency. I asked Scotty Walden, do you feel like the players are getting this sense of urgency? And he said yes, emphatically. He's like, I'm trying to manage this right now. I'm trying to kind of keep this. So how much of the emotional aspect of this could hurt their decision or influence their decision on who they end up being? Look, all four guys have camps behind them. All four guys who are up for this quarterback job deeply, deeply want this and deeply can go home at night thinking, I am the guy. Like, there is no question about it. I am the guy. And that's the mentality that all four of these guys have. So when you're talking about Walden with the sense of urgency, it's there. How much of that is self-manufactured? How much of that is beneficial versus how much of that is a distraction?
Yeah, I mean, from the outside looking in, all four of these guys have the argument, like you said, to be the starting quarterback. I mean, Cade has won games for this team at the Division I level, right? Skyler was the starter last year when they you know, won two of their last three. Malachi is Malachi. He knows he's a five-star player. And Shea looks so much better than he did last year. And that's just from the outside looking in. I can only imagine what other players, what other people are seeing in practice, right? You're going to have four different camps, like you said, arguing, hey, he did this during practice. Hey, he did this during practice. He looks better. He looks this, that, and third. I mean, at some point, yeah, everybody's going to start to say, like, who is it going to be? Who is it going to be? And it's going to start to hurt the team. And I think that's why they want to name one so early. And I think that they know deep down who it's going to be. They know. They can see it. But they're not going to tell us. They're not going to give us any type of hints, and they probably won't give the team any type of hints.
Sure, I'm totally behind that. I would say, okay, so next question that came head coach Scotty Walden's way, or later in the conversation, was from B. Martinez from KVIA. It was a great question, just simply asking, flat out, do you feel pressure in starting Malachi Nelson because he's a five-star quarterback? Here's head coach Scotty Walden on his answer to that question.
No, I don't. The best player plays. I mean, you know, outside perspective, outside, you know, the GOAT, Nick Saban, what do you call it, rat poison, all, you know, the rat poison, right? Like, that's all outside. That's all out there, man. That ain't in this building, you know, and there is zero pressure. And Malachi even tell you, being a five-star, that's in the past. He wants to be a five-star player right now, you know, and that's what we're after. And I love his attitude, his grit, his mindset, you know. We got to play the best player that gives us the chance to win. And if that's a freshman, if that's a senior, I don't care who it is. It's just got to be the – and those are things, be that, like, in our team meetings at night, we talk – we install our culture. In our culture, you know, we talk about these decisions that have to be made, and we have to trust and have that belief in the organization. We're doing the best thing for the betterment of the organization. and not just the individual. You know, football is the ultimate team sport, and we have to kill the individualism. The individual cannot. There's no hope for a selfish player in this program. And I'm not saying that anyone's selfish. I'm just saying that we can't think about the individual. We have to think what's the best for the team. And so, no, I don't feel pressure on that. Which I told the quarterbacks. I told every position this. And this is the reality. And this is not me deflecting responsibility, but this is the truth of how it goes down. Is like they usually tell you who to play. The players do. And like if you want to play, go produce. And it's going to be evident on tape. And then I'll make the decision. You know what I mean? And like, I get like 8 pages of stats every day. I mean, we got stats on stats on stats on stats on how to like quantify each completion they throw. I mean, my man Miguel Avina is like a brainiac in there trying to formulate this deal. So we got stats for days on how to track them. But at the end of the day, who puts the ball in the end zone? You know, we're going to keep it simple.
Okay, who's putting the ball in the end zone? They're going to keep it simple is the thought and the evaluation that Scotty Walden's looking at. He maintained that. He said that at the beginning. They want to score more points, looking for a quarterback to do that. Also talked about multiple guys in this whole scrum. And you hear from, Martinez, who asked the question about, hey, could you end up starting Malachi, or do you feel pressure to start Malachi because he's a 5-star prospect? He emphatically said no. He said that, you know, usually it's the players who tell us who we end up playing and all that kind of stuff. Zay, they could talk all they want. They could say all this stuff. Is it Miguel Avina who's throwing the stats over to Walden? Is it Walden himself who is watching these quarterbacks every day? Is it outside influence who could have some kind of thoughts and influence on this organization itself? I wonder who Walden's going to listen to during this whole evaluation process. And like you said, maybe they know who that quarterback is and who this starter is right now. And maybe they make that announcement sooner rather than later just to try to move on from this whole discussion, just to try to – I know everybody wants the competition. They like that kind of side to it. But just to put an end to all of the fodder around it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think fans are tired of this as well, right? We all know who fans want. They want Malachi, and they expect it to be Malachi no matter what happens throughout camp because he's a 5-star. I know you said that's in the past, or, you know, coach said that was in the past, but that's what bought him here. That's what's giving you all this hype is his 5-star status because beyond that, he hasn't done anything at this collegiate level, right? He's struggled at points, right? At Boise State, you know, he had the interception. He lost the job to Maddox Madsen. You know, USC, that was what it was. So his 5-star status should put pressure on Coach Walden to start him. I mean, you make him this big deal over the offseason. That's what's got a lot of fans back on board. What's going to happen if you start Locklear and, you know, it doesn't really go as planned? You know how quickly this fan base can turn on you, and you know they're not afraid to voice their opinion that, hey, it should have been Malachi, it should have been this 5-star, and look where you are now.
Who are you at with this battle?
You know, I think that throughout the whole year, I've known in the back of my head that, hey, it'd be cool to have Malachi Nelson, a 5-star, you know, kind of rejuvenate his career. But I think it should be Skylar Locklear. I mean, he had me sold towards the end of the year. I know he has his struggles. I know he has his faults. But he just looks so much better with the team. He looks so much comfortable down the stretch after coming back from injury. You know, at practice, he looked a lot cleaner at times. He looked more mature. And I just think that he gives the team the best opportunity to win for now. Although I do want to see Malachi get a shot. So I really don't know. My pick for who I want to see, though, is Locklear.
Okay. I think where I'm at currently right now is that all my eyes tell me Locklear. My ears tell me Malachi. That's how I'm standing right now. And it's early still. Somebody could tell me, like, wow, you're way too early to make this assessment. It's way too early to have this kind of conversation, you know? And when you do this enough, you try to weed out what happened last year or try to find context clues. How do these teams usually like to roll things out like this? And, I guess that's where I'm at right now. It's August 6th, and I could change my opinion tomorrow on August 7th, or I could change after after scrimmage number one, which is on Friday of this week. So a lot could still happen at the quarterback position. That's at least my early thoughts on it right there. Okay, a couple other storylines to hit on, Zay, before we wind it up here today. And we've got more episodes of the Minor Talk preseason podcast coming up every week leading up to kickoff. So it's going to be exciting to break down each and every game. We've been asking our guests to kind of go game by game, or at least think about game by game, the record prediction and all that kind of stuff. I am saving my record prediction for when I get a chance to talk with Steve on the Minor Talk podcast. Him and I usually do this. However, I want to throw at you a betting prop that is going out there right now. Something that is out there right now, over under 5.5 wins. That's the line that we're seeing all over different sports books for UTEP football. And Zay, I thought the number would be closer to 4.5. I'm really surprised it's 5.5, which tells me that when you're wondering, you know, if it should be lower, then you just take the under. However, I've seen my contemporaries and people that I love in this business talk about UTEP and think about this team being a bowl team. I saw Mike Craven from Dave Campbell's Texas Football senior writer say that he's on the UTEP to a bowl game and win it express here in year two of Scotty Walden. Before we get to the bowl prediction right there from our boy Craven, where do you stand and where do you lie? You can't bet on this one right here. You're not of age, but if you could, 5.5 over under, where are you at here for UTEP football?
You know, look, there's so much expectations that I think that, you know, maybe they're warranted, maybe not, right? At the end of the day, it's UTEP. But people seem to have it in their heads, fans and non-fans alike, that UTEP could be a really, really good football team. And I think that's, you know, that's valid. You see the moves that they made. You see the recruiting classes that they've had. I mean, that's back-to-back number one recruiting classes in Conference USA. That's got to mean something, right? That means they're bringing the talent in on paper. So, look, I want to get excited. I want to say this team can do that. But at the same time, I mean, fans should have learned. Fans learn. You know, they realize, look, it's UTEP. There's going to be some games that they're supposed to win, they're not going to win. There's going to be some plays that absolutely go wrong. They go sideways. How do they answer from that? And I think that it's year two. I think, you know, with the transfer portal and everything, the way that they're building this, I want to say over. I'll put the over. Yeah.
Wow. Over 5.5 wins, and this is a bowl team. Zay Galindo stamping it right here on the show. Sal Montes joined us like a month ago on Sports Talk and said 7 wins. Are you there? Are you at 7 wins, or are you at 500, 6-6? Where are you at right now with the win total? I don't need to know how they're getting there. I just need to know the number.
Yeah, yesterday I did the it's called playoff predictors, and they have like this cool, you know, you could predict the season for Conference USA. And I went through it as unbiased as I could be, you know, simply as unbiased as I could be. And all I'll say is that UTEP had over 6 wins, but they had under 8 wins. So they had 7 wins. They went 7-5. And I think I was fair in giving them the matchup. I gave them some wins that maybe they shouldn't get, but I gave them some losses that maybe they should have gotten, you know? So I think that I try to be as fair as possible. I try to think about Conference USA as a whole. And, you know, when thinking about this UTEP team, they just need one or two players to put them over the top. They need one or two players to get them to 7 wins in this conference because of how, you know, leveled it is. I've talked about it before, but look, there's one big dog in Liberty. And there's a second big dog in Western Kentucky, and UTEP avoids Western Kentucky. They get Liberty at home. You can kind of toss that one up as a loss. Same thing with the Texas game, but the rest of those games are they're. I'm not going to say even, but they. You know, you can make the argument that UTEP can win those, and I think that if you know, the coin flips the right way for them, I can easily see them getting 7 wins.
Okay, well, so if you throw out Texas and Liberty and say the rest of them are coin flips, it is attainable, right? Utah State, UT Martin, the road game, they're losing at Texas, and then the home game against Louisiana Monroe, followed by La Tech. Like, it's not crazy to think the Miners could go into the month of October 3-2, you know, in that stretch, maybe even 4-1 during that stretch right there. So, yeah, if you're if you're looking at the over, that's the case that you're making right there, that the month of September works in favor for the Miners and that they just somehow slug their way into getting that 6-win mark. If something disastrous happens against UT Martin, against Louisiana Monroe, against La Tech, you know, if they start to spiral downward and you start to see a downward trend, that's where it's going to be hard to even turn things around when they try to, or if they can, in October when conference play really hits. So I'm fascinated by your over 5.5. I'm going under. I've covered this UTEP team, you know, for 10 years, and I've seen the goods and the bads. I've seen teams in fall camp. I've seen the hype. I've seen the lowlights. Like, I've seen it all. And I think this team is still going to build on their foundation, still going to have what in my eyes is a successful season, which is, you know, closer to 5 wins, more than last year's 3-win season. I'm not there yet to make that full prediction. And maybe I turn it around closer to the season and say, hey, this is a 6-win team. But for now, I'm going under everything I've seen right now. I'm going to go under for UTEP on that 5.5 win total. So that's definitely one to mark, though. Bookmark that one right there and see how we fare here moving forward. But Zay's got the over. I've got the under here for UTEP. 5.5 wins here moving forward. Now, let's talk about the defense. I want to wrap up by talking about them here in fall camp. They're further along than the offense. The offensive line worries me. It worried me last week when I talked about them on the show. This week, nothing's really changed. I'd say that the freshman offensive linemen, if they start playing in real games, I won't be surprised. Like, some of those freshmen can truly move, and they have some nice, they have some nice physical traits that make you super excited about that offensive line. Look at guys like Jake Utley. He's younger on this team, redshirt sophomore. Look at guys like Tyler Roberts, younger guy on this this front line, but really impressive physically. So those are some names to just kind of keep an eye out for moving forward to see if they maybe crack and get some playing time moving forward down the line. Defensively, man, the linebackers are really impressive. Garrett Hawkins, Micah Davey, Stratton Shufelt jump off the page right away. Then don't forget about Jaden Wilson, who comes from Austin High School and transferred over to UTEP from New Mexico. And don't forget about another guy who they're really high on, who Scotty Walden coached over at Austin Peay, and now he found his way to UTEP. Joshua Rudolph, who's also in the linebacker room. That unit right there impresses me, along with that defensive line led by guys like Udoka Iziani, Derek Burns. Those are the two pass rushers right there who really stood out to me over this first week. Ashton Coker and Katie Johnson. Those guys impressed me in the spring. They impressed me last fall. They impressed me the fall before that. These guys are mainstays on that D-line. So defensive front seven, very impressed, Zay.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very solid team. And, you know, look, you have a new defensive coordinator. It's tough that they lose J.J. Clark to the Cowboys. And because, you know, that defense, although at times they really did struggle, they were fun to watch. I mean, they were a playmaking defense. They had the two top sack leaders in Conference USA last year. You know, they were just a fun team to watch defensively, and you don't get that a lot in football as a whole, right? It was somewhat similar to that Dan Quinn defense in Dallas. Yeah, they gave up a lot of yards, and yeah, they gave up big plays, but I mean, they made plays. They forced turnovers, and at the end of the day, it was the highlight of that team last year. So it'll be interesting to see how they move from that and how different that defense will be. But the talent is there, right? I think some of these transfers are going to be really, really good. And I know that they invested a lot in these sub-FBS guys, and it's a move. It's going to be an interesting move, and if it pays off, then it pays off, because we've seen these D2, D3 FCS guys really, really make it big at this level, but at the same time, they can just fizzle out. They can just not be ready for that FBS level of competition, so that'll be interesting to see, and like you said, that offensive line, that's the biggest question mark, in my opinion, for this team, and it sucks, because that's such an important position group in football as a whole, because if you can't get the offensive line going on the run game, pass game, then you can just check up the whole season as a loss, because that's the heart of the offense.
Who is your Kyren Duhon of this team, aka the young freshman or young player who's just going to come explode onto the scene and no one saw this one coming?
Man, I said it last year, and I'll say it again. He's a redshirt freshman now. I saw him in practice. He literally made one play, and I was sold. It's Elijah Baldwin, man. Yeah. He's really 6'7". He looks 6'8" now. He looks bigger. He looks faster, and he looks stronger. He's just insane, man. He came off the line, batted down a pass, and I was just like, you know what? This has got to be the guy. I mean, he's just too much of a physical, you know, beast to be on the bench, and I think he'll see playing time, and I think down the stretch, once he gets reps under his belt, he'll be a possibly a starter.
I'm going to go Lubbock Coronado's finest, Alan Gant, the freshman safety. This guy, lengthy. His arms droop lower than his knees. Played 3 seasons of varsity football over for Lubbock Coronado. In his senior season, he absolutely killed it. 42 solo tackles, 4 pass breakups, a fumble recovery, 4 pass deflections, and then 2 forced fumbles in 10 games that he played. This guy is a baller. If he gets on the field somehow in the defensive backfield, I would not be surprised. Alan Gant, keep that name on your radar in the defensive backfield, in the secondary. Of course, you're going to have mainstays like Lance Russell, Xavier Smith. Those guys are going to be the key guys. And Zay, that'll do it for us here on the program here today. It's a good one here on the show. It's a good primer. We still got a lot of work to do. You and myself got a lot of work to do ahead of the game for Utah State, but appreciate it as always for joining us. And excited to talk more minor football with you, man.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's here, man. We're here. I know that we were talking about maybe it's too early to name a quarterback, blah, 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 to talk about this. And maybe it is, right? It's only like week one of fall camp, but man, the game is right around the corner. It's almost less than 3 weeks away, and it's going to come like this in a blink of an eye. So I'm excited.
Thank you for everybody who listened here to the Minor Talk podcast. We'll be back in action next week here on 600 ESPN El Paso.